Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody today. I think our normal membership is outnumbered by our visitors today. We are very glad that you came to worship with us. If there's anything we can do for you, if you need a ride back to where you're staying, please get with one of us. We'd love to help you any way we can. We hope that you find everything being done here today in spirit and in truth, and we're glad that you came to worship with us. We're going to be looking today. Our message is going to be from John 15, verse 11. Tracy read that to us earlier. I appreciate him doing that. If you would, turn in your Bibles. If you did not bring one, there is... under the seat in front of you is a Bible, and this is all of these scriptures are from the New King James translation. Wanted to mention while people are in here, the people that went on the hike with us, we had a great outing yesterday. Went on a little hike out by Lake Mead, and those of you that went, we finished just in time, because on the way home after lunch, I don't know about which direction you were going, we caught pouring rain, so the timing was perfect on that. So we are looking at John 15, verse 11 today, and Jesus says, he's talking to his apostles, and he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." It says, "These things I have spoken to you." What are these things? What are these things that you're talking about? Well, just previously, Jesus had been speaking to his followers, and he says one of the messages, one of the concepts that he expressed was that he is the way, the truth, and the life. That was one thing that he really wanted to make sure that the people knew, that there is salvation in no other. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Another concept that he stressed in chapters 14 and 15 was, "If you love me." And he starts he started that concept out, "If." A lot of people say, "Oh, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We just love you, Jesus." I hear that in the world so much by people that by their lives, they are proclaiming loud and clear that they don't love Jesus. Their mouth, their lip service, their yapping is, "Oh, I love Jesus. Let's praise Jesus." But by their actions, they don't. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." He mentioned that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit will be with them, but with us too. In Preston's class on Sunday morning, we have been speaking and learning about the Holy Spirit. And in fact, we have just been covering this concept in our Wednesday night study about the book of John, that not only the Father is going to be with us, the Son is going to be with us, and the Spirit. A lot of people, and it was kind of brought up today in class, a lot of people emphasize, "Oh, I want that Holy Spirit. I want to be able to speak in tongues. I want to be able to do this. I want to be able to do that." They kind of tend to forget the Father is with us. The Son is going to be with us, and the Spirit. He expressed the concept that I am the vine and you are the branches, that it all comes off of Him, that He is the source. And of course, to abide in Him. You know, the word abide is to live in. You know, where we abide is our home. That's where we dwell. Jesus says, abide. Not visit once in a while. I am as guilty as anyone. And it's a matter of semantics. I understand this. But I will say, I'm going to church. We are the church. We're going to the building to worship. We're going to the building to see the church, to be with the church, to worship with the body. Jesus doesn't want us to come to Him once a week for 45 minutes. And during that 45 minutes, part of that time, our mind is wandering someplace else. And then, check, got that done. He doesn't want that. He wants us to abide with Him, to live with Him, to be a Christian, a follower of Him, not somebody that shows up. Do they still have time? Do you still punch time cards? I had a job years ago. They had to punch your time card. I don't know if they still do that or not. You know, it may be beyond that. But it's not a coming in, punching our time card. I was here. Phew. Got that done. Got that off the list. He wants us to abide in Him. And he goes on to say, why? That my joy may remain in you. That my joy may remain in you. These things I have told you, that my joy may remain in you. Joy versus happiness. We had a lesson on this months ago. The kind of the difference between joy and happiness. Joy doesn't happen just because something's going good. That's happiness. That's happiness. Happiness is going to Disneyland. That's a situation. Bad example. I got a spanking at Disneyland once, and that wasn't real happy. I think I told you the story. I was throwing a fit. We were the first time we'd gone to Disneyland, and I wanted to stay. I was so excited about going, and no, we'll come back tomorrow. We'll come back, and no, I want to stay, and I'm throwing a fit. Stomping my feet, I want to stay. Wound up getting a spanking. And glanced up. You know, Stacy told me, you know, quit throwing a fit. We're gonna come. We'll come back. No, it was my mom. It was my mom. I was about five. I want to stay, Stacy. I want to do the canoe trip one more time. But my mom says, quit throwing a fit. Or you're going to get spanking. And I was throwing a fit. I want to stay. And I didn't understand. I don't know if I'd ever heard the word irony or not. But as my mom's spanking me, it was there by the entrance, and I think it's still there. the sign, Disneyland. And I'm looking up and I'm thinking, something's wrong here. Disneyland, the happiest place on earth. And I'm getting a spanking. But we came back. Happiness is situational. Happiness is you go to a comedy movie and you laugh and chuckle, and then that can turn immediately. The situation versus the attitude. The attitude is joy. The mindset is joy. It doesn't depend on what's going on at the time. The feeling of the moment versus that inner peace. That's the difference in joy and happiness. Paul got it. In Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9, he is explaining this concept. He's writing from prison. He's under guard. He doesn't have the freedom to come and go and do what he wants. But he's writing to the Christians in Philippi, and starting in verse 8, he says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. I just didn't tell you these things. You saw me doing them. I've lived that in front of you. These do. And the God of peace will be with you. This is a man that could write that from being confined. That's a man that could write that from not being able to come and go, do as he wished. That was joy. He got it. And he goes on to say in verse 11, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." Whatever's going on, I don't have to be in something happy going on to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's joy. That's joy. To know that I am not bound by circumstances. Not by circumstances. My joy. When he says, "I want that my joy may remain in you." My joy. The fact of who he is. He knows who he is. How many people do you know that they go through their life never knowing who they are? They're always looking for themselves. That's sad. I've known some people. Stacy and I have been friends with some people that literally they reinvent themselves every few years. They're all about this now. They're this and they're all their focus is here. And then in a couple of years, they're going to be somebody different. Their interest, their look, their outlook, everything. Jesus knew who he was. He knows where he's from and where he's going. He knows his purpose. That is joy. Or at least to me, to know that I have a purpose. That I'm not just spinning my wheels. That I'm not on a treadmill putting out a lot of energy, but not getting anywhere. He knew his purpose and his strength. Let's look at a couple of these real quick. He knew who he is. Matthew 3:17, when Jesus was being baptized by John the Baptizer, says, "And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Giving that affirmation, giving that confirmation and validation that Jesus was who he was. He knows where he's from and where he's going. In John 13:3, it says, "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God." That's comforting. And he has that joy, and he wanted his followers to have that. Wanted us to have that. That we know where we're from and where we're going. And that's part of that purpose. If we know where we're from and who we are and where we're going, it gives us purpose, just like it gave Jesus purpose. John 3:17. We always hear John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The next verse, verse 17. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." That's the purpose. He had the purpose. He knew what he was here for. Luke 19:10. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That is our purpose too. The Great Commission, to go out and preach and teach and make disciples, baptizing them. His strength. He wanted his followers to have his strength. In Luke 22, before he was arrested in the garden, he prayed. "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.'" He had the strength to acquiesce to God's will, not his. I am so glad that Jesus was the one going through this instead of me, because if it was me that was going to be the sacrifice for the world and I would have been looking how to get out of Jerusalem. How can I sneak out? I need a sword. I need to find me a place that I can defend myself. Jesus is spending his final moments of a free man in prayer to God. That's strength. Not through a sword, but through prayer. On the cross, then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." That's strength. To be hanging on a cross after being beaten and flogged, mocked, seeing your Father mocked, and to be able to say, "Father, forgive them." Oh, you want to see the power of the Son of God? Let me give you a couple of doses. He didn't do that. You want to see the strength of the Son of God? There it was. not in the smoting and the lightning and the zipping and zapping, but in His strength. Father, please forgive them. That it remain in you. In Matthew 10:22, Jesus knew what they're going to be facing in not too long. The responsibility of carrying the church on their shoulders in just a short time. It's going to be on them, not on Jesus. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. I want my strength to remain in you. And in Revelation, in the letters to the seven churches, Jesus is telling the church in Ephesus, nevertheless, I have this against you. There were some good things, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. They had left their first love. Jesus wanted that joy to remain with them. And then in verse 10 it says, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. We have to remain faithful until death. And that your joy may be full. Jesus wanted that their joy would be like His. Not based on happiness, not based on situations, but based on His. That it would be full and complete. Not like the joy of the world, which is right the total opposite of ours. And to have His strength, His purpose, and He wants that for us. He wants that for us too. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, Paul is telling Timothy that, and he's telling us too, that all Scripture, this is how you keep that. It's through His Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be complete. Complete. Not just have a little bit, but to be complete. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. That Jesus wanted His joy to remain in them through His Word. And Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, we've used this verse numerous times. I beseech you. Paul is writing to the Christians in Rome. He says, I beseech you. Not, I have a good suggestion. Not, some of you listen. I beg you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Be transformed, be changed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And it brings us back full circle. Jesus was telling His followers, which today is us. It's us today. He was talking to different individuals at the time, but this message is as much for us today as it was for His followers in the first century. And He says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. The lesson's yours. I hope it's been one of encouragement. I hope it's one of education, that we can learn more of God's Word through this. If you need to respond to the invitation, if there's sin in your life, your joy is not full if there's sin in your life. If you need to repent, there's no better time than right now. If you're not a Christian, if you've heard the Word of God, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you need to confess those sins, or confess that belief to man. You need to repent of your sins. Then be baptized for the forgiveness of those sins. And then remain faithful. And that joy that Jesus wants you to have will be full. If you need to respond to the invitation through baptism, prayers, repentance, or if you've been looking for a church home, if you've been looking at some of the denominational world and realize you've come to the church, to His church, there's only one. There's only one. And you would like to worship and work with us here at South Valley. If maybe you've looked at some of the congregations around town and would like to identify with us, that's great. Whatever your need. And visitors, again, we extend a very heartfelt welcome to you, and we would like to welcome you back whenever you're in town. If we have any visitors that are from Las Vegas, please come back. Please come back and worship with us at the Lord's church. It's not ours. It's not mine. It's the Lord's church. Whatever your need, please come forward. Let your needs be known while we stand and sing. Kurt?